Hey, Planet Shakers, my name is Andy, and I'm one of the pastors here at Planet Shakers Church. I am so excited that you're joining us today. We have a powerful message from Pastor Russell, and I know that God is going to use it to speak to you. So let's check it out.
Planet Shakers, it's a year of what? Breakthrough and glory. Who's having some breakthroughs? Who's carrying glory? Give me a wave. Yeah, cool. Last week I preached a sermon called "I Pray That Your Soul Prospers," and we talked about how we're made up of our body, our mind, which is our will, emotions, and our thoughts. So we're made up of our body, soul, mind, will, and emotions. Thoughts, will, and emotions, and our spirit. And so our body and our soul are temporal. Our spirit is eternal. And we talked about how our spirit is perfect. When you're born again, you have a perfect spirit. God lives in you. And what happens, the challenge in life is we fight against the flesh, against our emotions, and we need to bring them into subjection to the and capture every thought and let our spirit dominate our soul, not our soul dominate our spirit. And so I want to continue a little bit on that this morning. Next week, we're going to have a great, great Father's Day service, so you don't want to miss that. But I want to speak to you on joy. No one's joyful? Joy. J-O-Y. Joy. The very thing that God created, joy. No one else created it. No one else hijacked it. God created joy. Joy is in your spirit. You know, joy is good for you. Do you know that? Joy is good for you. The Bible talks about that, but scientists have seen that a joyful life is good for your life. It's good for your body. It's good for your soul. And so we got to live this life of joy. So I want to talk about that this morning. Thank you, musicians and ball boys and ball girls and stuff like that. Anyway, joy. Ezra chapter 3 in verse 11, it says, "And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, they sang, for his mercy endures towards Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout. And when they praised the Lord," and here's the reason they praised the Lord, "because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. God had given them a vision to rebuild the temple of God for the second time. And this was exciting because the foundations were being laid. I remember when I first built a house back in Adelaide. Well, I didn't build it, but a builder built it. And I remember walking across the foundations and I'm like, this is amazing. This is going to build a great house. I was so excited about having foundations. Now, the reason I was excited because it was my house. Everyone else's foundations, yeah, well, look at those foundations. They're just cement, big deal. But when you own something, when you have investment into something, you celebrate it. And here is the nation of Israel celebrating the house of God because it represented the very nature of who they were to be, is were people who worship God. And so they're excited. And it says this, "But many of the priests and Levites, heads of the father's house, old men, had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes." Now, some people think that they were weeping because they were sad. No, actually, they were weeping because they'd been through some stuff. They'd been through some fights. They'd been through some challenges. They'd been through some situations that hadn't been so good. But here was the faithfulness of God that the foundation, what they had been believing for, had come to pass. Then the Bible says this, "Yet many shouted aloud for joy." So the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the people weeping, for the people shouted with a loud shout and the sound was heard afar. So here we got a generation who had seen the old and a generation who had never seen the old. And both of them had joy, but joy from a different perspective. Joy for the first time, wow, we've never seen this before. Joy for the second time, we've been through some stuff and we're still here and God is faithful. See, my dad and my children, it's interesting to watch my dad and my children sometimes. My dad will be sitting there and he'll talk about his children and his grandchildren and he'll start crying. And then my dad cries a lot, and I've discovered that the more older he gets, the more he cries. But he will start crying, just out of the blue, crying. And I'm like, why are you crying? I remember having him in here recently, and we were filming him about my grandfather, his life, and then and what our family had been through. And I remember my grandpa and my dad just crying basically the whole time. I was trying to compose him, crack a few jokes, but that didn't work. He was crying. He wasn't crying because he was sad. He was crying because he had this joy that God had been faithful in generations. My children will sit in the same room. They won't be crying. They'll be shouting and laughing. Why? Because they're experiencing the blessing from previous generations. And that's really 15 years of Planet Shakers here. We've had people who've been here, been through the challenges and the great moments and the highs and the lows. But when we see what God is doing, there's tears of joy. But there are people who've just joined who enjoy everything, the coffee, everything. They've never paid a price for anything here. And they just enjoy it, which is good. We all need to enjoy generationally because those generations will pave the way for the next generation. So joy is such an important thing. The Bible says in John chapter 15, I am the vine, Jesus talking, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Who wants to bear much fruit? Yes. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the key to much fruit is to be connected to Jesus. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Thank you very much for that encouraging statement, Jesus. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Not may be done, it will be done. This is a God we serve. This is to my Father's glory. It's a year of breakthrough. God wants to honor you and he wants to honor Jesus wants to honor the Father by seeing miracles happen in your life so the glory of God will be seen on the earth. And so it says this, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, not to our glory, to the Father's glory, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this. See, this is what makes God joyous. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no other than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. So God is saying here, Jesus is saying, I want you to understand joy comes in following what I tell you to do. See, a joyful person is somebody who's following the will of God. That's why you've got to follow what your spirit says, not what your emotions say. That's why you've got to take your emotions captive and say, no, I'm going to get my spirit to dominate you. Galatians, so let's talk about joy. Joy, in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So joy is the fruit of the Spirit. So it's the fruit of your spirit life. So God wants that fruit to invade or feed your soul, your mind, your will and emotions, and your flesh. We're going real quiet here. So joy is the fruit of the Spirit. This kingdom we serve, called the kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So not only is joy a fruit of the Spirit, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of joy. The Bible says we get joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. How do you get joy unspeakable and full of glory if you're going through rubbish in your life? The reason you can have joy in rubbish or challenging times is your spirit is stronger than what you're facing. Christ in you is bigger than anything outside of you. Christ in you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So I have joy that's bigger than pain. How are we going here? See, The thing about joy, the Bible says that joy not only is a fruit of the Spirit, joy is not only a part of the kingdom, it's a kingdom of joy, but the Bible says the joy of a new car, no, it doesn't say that. The joy of a relationship, no, it doesn't say that. The joy of money, no, it doesn't say that. The joy of sport, no, it doesn't say that. This happens every week. It's like God says, that's good preaching, Russell. He's clapping. You just didn't realize that. The joy of my degree. No. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So if I'm going to have a strong soul, I've got to have joy in the Lord. See, the reason why people get tired and weary is they lose their joy because they've let their soul and their flesh dictate their spirit. Joy gives me strength. Proverbs 17:22, in three versions, I'm going to read this. A merry heart, a joyful heart, does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. Proverbs 17:22 in the New Living Translation, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. The Message Bible in that same scripture, a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. So joy is good for my health. So what we are is we are medical practitioners in the spirit, because we are joy deliverers. We bring medicine to people's broken hearts. You see, Jesus made a remedy for our broken hearts. This is awesome. I love this. I'm preaching myself happy. You see, in life, you're going to get your emotions hurt. It's part of life. Coming a Christian doesn't mean you come to Father Christmas. You come to Father God, who helps you live and develop you and disciple you. In fact, most of the New Testament was written by people in jail. Most of it. And this guy is writing about joy. How can you write about joy in jail? Because he's not living about by the external. He's living from what's in him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Joy. So joy, part of our mandate as Christians is to be joyful, bring joy. You say, but I'm not being real, I'm pretending. No, no, no. You are actually not pretending to live in joy. You can say, this is the fact, I'm going through a troubling time. My emotions are saying this, my thoughts are saying this, but my spirit says this. And so I'm not actually living a fake life, I'm actually identifying what is wrong. I'm seeing what is wrong, but now I'm applying truth to it. But if you've got a broken heart, we get broken hearts, we get hurt, our emotions get hurt. Things happen because we're people. We're human. That's why we don't live with judgment. We look at fruit, we don't judge people. And so we get broken. Jesus says, I know that. That's why Luke 4 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So the Spirit of God that is in you, that's a spirit of joy, you carry joy. Also, that same Spirit that comes upon you to bring healing. So no matter where you are, no matter where your emotions are, Jesus' anointing, his presence, his spirit can heal every broken heart, can heal every broken emotion, can heal you by his spirit. The Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So God wants to break into your heart and bring healing and turn a heart that's sad, that's broken, that's depressed into a heart that is full of joy. He came to heal our heart. And here's the thing about joy. I don't know what I've got in the next point, but I might have changed it. So if I've changed it, don't worry about it. I preached this last night. Joy is not, I made it shorter. Joy is not situational. So I'm at the football, my team's winning, I've got joy, it's situation. They're getting smashed, I've got anger. No, football doesn't dictate my joy, my emotions. Doesn't mean I feel it, I just don't be dictated by it.
That's
right. It's okay to feel it, just don't let it rule you.
Yeah.
So, joy is not situational because the Spirit of God does not change. The Spirit of God does not lie. The Spirit of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and He lives in me. So that means I can carry joy in every season, every situation. Even if my emotions are sad, I can say, come on, Mr. Emotion, don't let your emotion dominate you. I'm a very emotional being, by the way. I think a bit, but I feel a lot more. And I've had to learn to get my emotions, and then what happens is my emotions gets into my thinking. So if I'm feeling fearful, it's a real emotion. And now I'm thinking I'm fearful, I'm getting dominated by my soul. So how do I adjust this? I've got to get to the truth, what the Bible says, and I got to say, no, the Bible says this about me. Perfect love casts out all fear. God loves me. He cares for me. And so I got to speak to my emotions. And I say, emotion, you cannot speak to me anymore. My spirit is speaking to you. And I am a person of, I have not got fear. I've got a spirit of power and of love. And I have a spirit of a sound mind. So the real me is my eternal me. And I'm going to dictate not to my flesh me, but to my real me. Joy is not situational. Right. Let's go. Keep going. We're going all right?
Yes.
Joy. How do you live a life of joy? Joy is good for my health. A lack of joy brings a broken heart. Jesus came to heal our heart. That's what I said. Joy is situational. Joy is released or built in unity. Philippians 2:2 says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You see, when you come in agreement with God and what He says, you're in unity with Him and you're in unity with the people of God, there is an atmosphere of joy that is released. You know, church should be the most fun place on the earth. You know, being with Christians should be so joyful. That doesn't mean you don't have problems. You just got to deal with the problems through the spirit of your life, not through your flesh. And so joy is released in unity, greater joy. But I've got to hurry, I've got to get through all these points. I've got 95 of them. That's an exaggeration, by the way. Joy is sustained through vision of Jesus Christ. Your joy is sustained. You see, you can have a moment of joy because your spirit rises, but it's sustained through a vision of Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. What got Jesus to push through the pain, because the pain is real, to push through the situations because the situation is real. What got Him through was a joy, a vision of being reconciling man with God, His Father, coming and being an ambassador of peace and love and joy. It was what pushed Him through the cross to take our sin upon Him. And you see, we can still live like that. We can have the joy of serving Jesus, so we're prepared to pay the price, to take up our cross and follow Him, because our vision is based upon not ourselves. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I died to my flesh and I'm born again to the Spirit of God. And so my vision is about Him and His purpose and His call and His kingdom. And if it's about Him, I can go through whatever the enemy throws at me, because I'm not going to let that dominate me. Joy of seeing what Christ wants to do in me and through me and for others keeps me joyful.
Woo! See, James 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I don't like this scripture. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Who believes in that? Not me. I want everything now. But let your patience... Don't take a part of that and put it... Someone takes a clip of that and says, he doesn't believe in patience. No, I was joking. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God for it, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it'll be given to him. So here, James is saying, James is saying, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. See, trials and temptation can't stop your joy, but actually they can help you become complete. You see, if I go through trials and temptations and I'm still joyful, I show to myself and to others that God is real. Because it's a testimony. I might go through some stuff, but I'm getting better in the stuff, because the stuff isn't dominating me. I'm dominating it. My spirit is going to be the stronger than my flesh and my emotions and my will. I'm going to get my will to come in line. You see, it's not the absence of trials. Becoming a Christian doesn't say that you don't go through trials and temptations. In fact, you do. In fact, there's some trials and temptations that we have that are sometimes greater than people who don't know Jesus. Why? Because they're not living in a spiritual battle that have seen the truth. They're just blinded to the spiritual realm. We understand the spiritual realm, and the Bible says our battle isn't with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in the high places. So there's a spiritual battle that comes, and that spiritual battle tries to dictate to your soul. So when you understand that, you go, no. I'm not magnifying the problem. I'm magnifying the person of Jesus. And so I live and I understand the trials, but I'm going to turn them in for my good. The Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called to according to his purpose. Do I understand everything? No, but I do understand God is on my side and God is on your side. Do I understand why there is problems? I understand sin caused problems, but I understand God is greater, God is stronger, God is more powerful, and he's going to use all things for my good. And I'm going to get more patient, I'm going to get more kind, I'm going to let any trial and temptation and anything I go through come and make me more joyful, because I'm getting bigger and stronger. People get more joyful after they've been to the gym. Why? Because their muscles are getting bigger. They'll go through the pain to get bigger. They'll enjoy it. Like, yeah, this is awesome. Why? Because they understand the trials and the temptations to give up they've overcome, and that gives them a sense of achievement that they've made it through. And God, when he says to us, he says, count it all joy when you go through trials and temptations, because it will complete you and make your joy complete. Woo! See, it isn't happy clappy Christianity, although we are happy and we are clappy. But we understand there are challenges, but we understand God is bigger than every challenge. See, you say, well, how do I empower joy in my life? Good question. Giving empowers joy. 2 Corinthians 9:17 says, so let of us give as he purposes in his heart, in his emotions, in his will, and his mind. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful, joyful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, and you always have all sufficiency in all things, and may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad and is given to the poor, and his righteousness endure forever. You see, what happens is when I give, because my flesh doesn't want to give. The only time my flesh wants to give is I want something in return. That's flesh. Strings attached giving. But spiritual giving is giving with looking for nothing in return, but knowing God will bless you anyway. And so The most Christ-like you are is the most time you are generous with no strings attached. You're generous just because. And so in that generosity, what happens is your joy. I love our gift-giving service because I watch people come and give, and they're not going. Because if you give because you have to, that's not giving, that's paying. But if you give because you want to, that's joy. You know, I bought some tickets to the basketball yesterday. Long, long time ago, to see Australia play America, all these NBA stars. I have good seats, so I wasn't complaining about the seats on the floor because I was never going to sit on the floor. It's a big field. You know? Yeah, it's amazing. Different crowds complain about different things. You know, they have the boxing and the UFC on that same arena and no one complains about not seeing, but your basketball crowd a bit more. Anyway, praise the Lord. And so I had these tickets and I like basketball and I like sport. And I discovered I had a wedding. And I'm like, I'm doing a wedding. That's okay, that's good. Weddings are joyful, praise God. And I gave my tickets to James and Mike Pilmer. And I was texting him, how's it going? What's the atmosphere like? I was getting more joy out of them enjoying it than me being there. I enjoyed the wedding. I enjoyed what was happening at the wedding. We were celebrating, but I was also celebrating because somebody was getting a benefit out of my giving and there was no strings attached. I was loving that they could enjoy it and they could enjoy the atmosphere and Australia beat America even better. How amazing is that? And so why? Because joy, giving empowers joy. You want to be a joyful person, be a giving person. I had one of our staff one time who has a very... He's very gifted, very, very gifted in lots of areas. And he's the jack of all trades. Or she. I can't, if I say he, and then they'll think that's him or she. So she or him. And he has a mercy gift, or she has a mercy gift. And so he was, or she was doing technical things and was really doing it well. But I could see she or he was serving brilliantly, but they loved people doing well, but there was something in them that they had a mercy gift and it wasn't being fulfilled. So I said to him or her from Queensland or Africa or the Pacific Islands, but anyway, I said to them, we're going to put you in this area of empower. And I watched this person rise up and smile. And I saw this person outworking their joy through their generosity because they discovered the power of blessing people. They were blessing people in this area, but they wanted to release blessing in other areas. And you've got to learn to understand where is the place that you love blessing and releasing the kingdom of God. Giving empowers joy. By the way, Dr. Clayton Coombs loves teaching, but he loves not just teaching, he loves empowering people. And I remember one time he was speaking to me and he said, Dave McCracken was speaking to me. He says, Dr. Clayton Coombs is brilliant. I didn't even know who he was at that stage. And he said, he wants to be a Pentecostal theologian that helps the body of Christ. And I said, oh, that's cool. Long story short, we eventually put him on staff. He's now our academic dean. This week, he presented in Oxford University to all these scholars, Pentecostal theology and the power of Pentecost. At the same time this year, our Bible college principal, Pastor Scott, who has a master's degree in theology, went to Athens and presented to Yale University and other universities like that about what God is doing through Planet Shakers. What are they doing? They're using their gift to give. Giving empowers your joy. I've gone over time, but last one. You ready for this one? The Bible says, Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel good. Rejoice in the Lord when your emotions are high and you heard a great worship song. Rejoice in the Lord when somebody gave you money. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And just to remind you, again, I say rejoice. So he's saying rejoice always, always, always rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice, 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 rejoice. You see, joy is something we do repetitively. We activate our spirit to produce the fruit of the spirit. See, when I choose to rejoice in the Lord, my spirit is engaged, and all of a sudden, it is now empowering the rest of me, my mind, my will and emotions. It's good for my health. It's good for people around me. It's good for my patience. It's good. It's completing things in me in trials. I've got a vision of Jesus because my joy is in Him. I know that joy isn't situational because I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I now know that I've come into unity with what God says, and now I'm living in joy. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. My heart is getting healed as I rejoice in the Lord. I start living in a place of strength because the joy that I'm rejoicing in gives me strength. And all of a sudden, I've come from a paradigm shift because I've rejoiced every morning. Get up and rejoice in the Lord. Every day, get up and rejoice in the Lord. Because I'm telling you, it's good for your health. I'm telling you, it's good for your life. I'm telling you, it's good for others. It's good for you to be complete. Rejoice in the Lord.
Thanks so much for watching. I pray that God really blessed you through this message. You know, we hear testimonies all the time of people that are impacted all around the world. And if you have any prayer requests or a testimony that you want to share, make sure you contact us on all platforms @Planet Shakers. We would love to hear from you. Be blessed. Have an amazing week.